Oh, happy day.
Special things for you this morning. Choir's been practicing this song for 2 or 3 weeks, and I want you to listen. This song has been with me for 2 weeks. The title of it says it all. He knows my name. And I just want to say, if there's someone here this morning, if you're going through a rough spot in life, if you feel like you're all by yourself, you are never alone if you know Jesus, because he knows your name. I want you to be ministered to this morning as the choir sings, He Knows My Name.
Oh,
Don't forget that. If you get lonely this week, just remember that he knows your name. It's a special morning for me. I've got some family here this morning that we haven't been in church together in a long time, and I'm going to put them on the spot. They're going to put me on the spot because I'm going to play something that I've never played for them before. Sunday's going to sing with them. They've never done that before in church. Now, we've sung together lots of times, and we're singing a song that Kendra wants them to sing, so I want you to pray for them. Come on up, Darren and Donna. This is my cousin, Brother Darren Cochran, and his wife, Donna. Now, Kendra, what's the name of that song again?
You are going to put us on the spot, ain't you? I was going to hide behind the piano. Yeah, I was about to say, no, Kendra put us all on the spot. Yeah, this is the last time we sung this song was probably the last time I was in service with you, probably, and you requested it, I guess. So this, I don't know, this might be a train wreck, but it's we'll give it a shot. It's good to be here. We finally get to come. We've been meaning to come for a while. Keith's been after us to come. Me and Keith are first cousins, by the way. That explains why he's so talented. And we explains why I'm so talented. We've been trying to get to come, and it seems like every Sunday something always happens, and sickness and everything, but we're glad to be here. And I want to say it's good to be in service with Joe, Kendra. We've known them for a long time, and a lot of good services with them. When I pastored for a lot of years, I got Joe to come and minister for me a few times, and we've been in some great services. And I got family scattered all over the audience out there. Where's Naomi at? There she is. Another cousin back there. So, but it's good to be here. So you pray for us. And, yeah, sure enough, we did. We practiced this one time last night. So we're going like this. So I don't know. But anyway, I hope you get a blessing out of this song. It is a good song. Thank God.
As my soul left my body that was made of earthly clay, an angel of the Lord carried me through the eastern gates. As his nail-scarred hands caressed my soul, he gave me a clean white robe, and I cried, I've made it, thank God I've made it. My feet have touched the streets of gold, streets of gold. I now am walking just past by the tree of life. Took a drink of living water flowing down from God on high. I now see the Hallelujah Square and a mansion that won't grow old. And I cried, I've made it, thank God I've made it. My feet have touched the streets of gold. Now my earthly life is over. I have made the narrow way, and this crown of life I'm wearing down the streets of gold today. I'm now touring that holy city, shouting down long wide road, and I cried, I've made it, thank God I've made it. My feet have touched the streets of gold, streets of gold. I now am walking just past by the tree of life. Took a drink of living water flowing down from God on high. I now see the Hallelujah Square and a mansion that won't grow old. And I cried, I've made it, thank God I've made it. My feet have touched the streets of gold. And I cried, I've made it, thank God I've made it. My feet have touched the streets of gold, streets of gold.
Amen.
perfect on that. Hope you enjoy.
Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I've enjoyed all this singing. It's good to see Brother Darren and Sister Donna. We have been in some good meetings in the past. I went and supported Brother Darren one time. He preached a revival down at Riverside, and it was on, wasn't it, brother? And I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord. It excites me to come here. It excites me to get up here behind this pulpit. I want to tell you something. It's a privilege and an honor for me to get up here and preach. To come into a church like this with people that want to be in the house of God, with people that love the Lord, want to hear preaching, want to hear singing, want to talk about Jesus. It excites me. And I'm glad to be here this morning. I want to read some scripture to you. We're going to be preaching, the Lord's willing, out of the book of Joshua, chapter number 6. If you want to stand with us for the reading of God's word, we're going to read just a few verses, and I'm going to try to deliver to you the things that God has put on my heart this morning. I think we want God's will to be done. You know, my will or my way doesn't matter. It doesn't mean anything. What I think I know or what I might know doesn't really matter. I want you to listen to what the Holy Spirit speaks to you. You know that when the preacher's preaching or the teacher's teaching, I'm just here as a catalyst to try to let God fill me. But God's going to come on the scene, and He's going to begin to speak to your heart. And when He does, you need to listen to Him, because you'll remember what He says. We were coming down the road this morning, and we were talking, and I don't know how we got on the subject. We were talking about grammar school teachers. And my son's in the fourth grade, and, you know, I was trying to remember back my fourth grade teacher. And I said, the only thing I remember, and I went into it. You ever do that? You know, it's funny how sometimes the little things that come to our remembrance, when God speaks to you, you're going to remember when God speaks. Amen? If you got your Bible, let's go to the book of Joshua, chapter number 6. And we want to read the first 5 verses, and then we'll pray, and I'll try to deliver what God's put on my heart. It says, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with many ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And the people shall ascend up, every man straight before the Lord. Now let us pray. Lord, we're so thankful to be in your house this morning. Lord, I'm thankful for your spirit. Lord, thank you for this good singing, Lord, that we've heard in the spirit. Lord, thank you for the peace of God that fills our souls and lets us know, Lord, that we're saved. God, we pray that you'd bless this morning. You'd send exactly that's needful for this house and this hour and these people. Lord, we pray that you'd touch our hearts, Lord, our minds, our lips. Everything that's done will be done to honor and glorify you. Lord, if there's one here, Lord, especially that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, God, we pray that you'd help them, Lord, to realize their need and that they'd come, Lord, to an altar of repentance and be saved. Lord, if there's somebody here facing Jericho this morning that needs your help, Lord, help them to have strength to stand. God, for all you're going to do, Lord, we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor, and the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I want to try this morning. I've got a title. It's Facing Jericho. And I want to kind of go through the history of this and kind of give you some things that had happened. Because I want to kind of go through the history, because I want to get to the point, once I get through all that, to give you really the thought that I have on my heart this morning. But, you know, the children of Israel had been delivered out of Egypt. They had gotten down into Egypt because there was a great famine, and Joseph was there, and all of his family, his brethren, came down, and they dwelt there, and for a period of time they were blessed. They were blessed because there was a good Pharaoh. By and by he passed, and the next Pharaoh, he was not friendly to the children of God, because God was blessing them. They were multiplying greatly. And the bad Pharaoh, he began to make it very difficult for the children of Israel. And in Exodus chapter 3, in verse number 7, it says, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey." Now, the first thing I want you to see is that God delivered them, okay? God delivered the children of Israel from Egypt. And I want you to know, when you read through God's Word and you're studying the Word of God, that Egypt is a type of the world, okay? They cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard their cry because they were His people. And now, God delivered them. Now, the second thing is God promised them that He would give them a land that flowed with milk and honey. Now, if you go through your Bible, there are four verses in the book of Exodus to where God speaks of and promises them a land that flows with milk and honey. There's one verse in Leviticus, it's chapter 20 in verse number 24, and I want to read it to you. It says, "But I have said unto you, ye shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people." So here He's promising them. Then you go to Deuteronomy. There are four verses, okay, in the book of Numbers. There are six verses. And then we're reminded again in the book of Joshua. Now here's what God said. He said, "I'm going to bring you out and I'm going to take you to a land that flows with milk and honey." It's a promise of God. It's a promise that He kept repeating to the people because it was something that He intended to fulfill. Okay, now if you come down, I want you to see the next thing. God delivers them and they come out of Egypt. And because of their unbelief, they spend 40 years in the wilderness. And while they're in the wilderness, every man that was of the age to be a man of war, he died in the wilderness. And they died because of their unbelief, because when they went to spy out the land and they come back toting a cluster of grapes that was so large that it took two men to carry it, they didn't look at the benefits, they didn't look at the blessings. They heard someone say, "But there are giants in the land. The enemy is strong, the enemy is great." And because God had already proven Himself to them, He had already shown them who He was, then God turned them and they went into the wilderness for 40 years. And every man of fighting age died before they were delivered out of the wilderness. Now, the next thing we see is Moses passes and Joshua becomes their leader. And Joshua begins to be exalted in the eyes of the people like Moses was. And they come to the Jordan River. Now, the scripture says it was a time when Jordan overflowed her banks at that time of the year. Now, you know, you heard sometimes people say, well, they crossed the Red Sea, and people say, well, it was just shallow. And I heard a guy one time, he was praising the Lord, praising the Lord. And they said, well, what are you praising the Lord about? Well, and he said, well, if God could drown all of Pharaoh's army in ankle-deep water, that's still a miracle. I want you to know that God is powerful. The God I serve is a God that's capable. Okay, they come to the brink of the Jordan and they stick their feet in the water at the time that the scripture said it overflowed its banks. I've read behind some archaeologists and I want to read some things to you in just a minute, but you know what they said? They said the greatest miracle was not that Jericho fell, it was that that great army of people was able to cross that river during the time that it was flooded. But when their foot touched that water, those waters stopped. And God parted that water, and those men, which were men born in the wilderness. Now here's something I want you to understand. It was not a seasoned army that had fought and fought and fought. It was young men that were born in the wilderness that God led across that Jordan. And they got across, and they went into the land of Canaan. And they're there in the land of Canaan, and it's in the land of Canaan that for the first time after coming out of the wilderness, they eat of the corn that grew from the land. And they're eating of the corn, and they eat twice in a day. And the scripture says that manna ceased. So they're in the promised land. But they're in the promised land and they're looking and they see in the distance, they see a great city that has walls that look impenetrable. And on the corners of this walls, there are towers that are built and there are people looking down at them. And it was, the scripture said, men of valor, men of army, men who were ready to fight. But the scripture says the city was straitly shut up because they had heard about God's power. They had heard how God had delivered his children. So the people were in Jericho and they had the city shut up. But Jericho was an obstacle that must be overcome in order for God's people to be obtained the promises that God had already given them. Remember, if you go back and look, it was in Deuteronomy, it's in Numbers, it's in the book of Joshua, it's in the book of Exodus, it's in the book of Leviticus. God said, that's your land, I'm going to give you that land. It's a land that flows with milk and honey. And even after all these times, they're standing looking at Jericho, just like you and I. You know, I'm here tonight, I've been walking with the Lord a long time, but I still face obstacles. Well, they're standing here, and they're looking at this fenced city. In order to obtain the promise, they must now trust God. Now, these people, they did trust God. We read you what the Lord said for them to do. He said, you march around that city one time for 7 days. And on the seventh day, you march around that city. And he said, when you march around it, you cry with a great shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And now the people marched around the city, but can you imagine marching around it? Could you imagine what might have went through their mind? Could you imagine them wondering if God, you ever wondered, is God going to move this time? You know, now I want you to understand, all of these young men, these were young men that were born in the wilderness. But the scripture doesn't say that all the ladies passed. You know, sometimes folks, it's the ladies in the church that are the prayer warriors. Sometimes it's the ladies in the church that do so much work. You know, I was here last night at the taco dinner, and the men were out on the front porch, Brother Tommy. We were drinking coffee. We were fellowshipping, and I looked in. You know what the women were doing? They were mopping. They were moving chairs. They were moving tables. They were picking up tater chips off the floor. I could just imagine what the women were doing. They might have been saying something like this. Now, young men, I want you to remember. I want you to remember when we were in Egypt, how there were 10 plagues, and the 10 plagues were sent to punish our enemies, but God kept us from them. I want you to remember how God protected us from the plagues. I want you to remember when Pharaoh's heart finally was broken, how that God told us to borrow from the Egyptians, and God gave us favor in their sight. We might have been poor, but because God gave us favor, when we walked out, we had something. I want you to remember that when we got down there by the Red Sea, we weren't alone, for the Lord led us with a pillar of a cloud by day and a pillar of a fire by night. I want you to remember that when we were camped there and we saw the enemy of Pharaoh coming, how God sent a cloud between us and them to confuse them so that they couldn't come to where we are. We could hear them over on the other side of the cloud, but they couldn't get to us. Don't forget that God has delivered us. Don't forget how we crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. Don't forget how God allowed us to walk across and just at the last time. Now, there might have been some little boys there that wasn't at the men of war age that could remember that. You know, I can remember times, Brother Tommy, when I was just a little boy being in the house of God, seeing the power of God move. I still remember those things. And I can remember, imagine some of them looking back and remembering when the chariots came into the Red Sea and it was still parted. And they got right in the middle of it and they said, the army's coming, the army's coming. And all of a sudden the wheels started running off the chariots. And all of a sudden the water started coming back in, and how God delivered them. And it was just a few days ago we crossed the Jordan on the dry ground. And here we are in the land of Canaan, and we have this obstacle in front of us. The ark of God is going around. They have the men of war in front, and they have the rear guard behind, and they go around seven times on the seventh day. And in the fifth verse, he said, the walls are going to fall down flat. I want you to know that they obeyed God. And in the 20th verse, it says that the walls fell down flat. Because God does what God says he's going to do. You know, a lot of times people try to say, well, the Word of God, you know, that's the only record you have. A lot of people say, well, there's no way that story is true. You know how many people have went over into that land and they have begun to dig and they say, I'm going to disprove the Word of God? Every time a spade is turned over, the Word of God is proved. Do you know that the Scripture says that if these should hold their peace, the stones should cry out? The stones are crying out today. Professor John Garstrang, this is an archaeologist and authority on the Hittite civilization. And by the way, for many years, the Bible, the Word of God, was the only reference to the Hittite civilization. You know what archaeologists and scientists said? Well, if it's in the Bible and that's the only place, then it doesn't exist. But they went over there and they started digging, and they did uncover the Hittite civilization. They found a complete civilization. They found how detailed it was and how they had intelligence and the things that they did, because God's word is true. But here's what this professor said when he began to dig. He says, as for the main fact, there remains no doubt that the walls fell outward so completely that the attackers would be able to clamber up and over their ruins into the city. You see, that was unusual. Because when an army comes against a city, generally they would have catapults and they would hit the walls and they would knock the walls inward. But this was not caused by some great army. This was caused by a powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing God that every knee, Scripture says, is going to bow before him one day. The walls fell outward and the people were able to come up open over. And they defeated the city. You see, God did exactly what he told them he would do, and he gave them a land that flowed with milk and honey. So here's what I want you to understand. Jericho was as good as on the ground, because God says, I've given it to you. And I want you to understand that as a Christian. Now, I said all that to get to the point. I want you to understand something this morning. What I want to really preach about is facing your Jericho. You see, all of us face Jericho. And if we go back to point number one, Egypt is a type of the world. And I want you to see the picture of leaving Egypt. Leaving Egypt is a type of becoming a Christian. It's like being born again by the grace of God and coming out from among the world and being a separate people, a zealous unto good works, to walk in newness of life, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. It's being born again into the family of God. It's being separated from Egypt or separated from the world. That's the picture. And you know, if we look at Ephesians chapter 2, it says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We've been saved. We've been quickened. We've been made alive. We've left Egypt. And our help does not come from Egypt. You know, Egypt is a type of the world. In Isaiah 31:1, it says, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. You see, our help does not come from Egypt. Our help does not come from this world. Our help comes from the Lord. Amen? And that's, we've been delivered. We've been saved by the grace of God. Now that's the picture. Here's our promise. And here's what I want us to be able to see. God has promised us a land that flows with milk and honey. You know that God has promised you as a Christian, he's promised you blessings. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. See, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. Jesus prayed for us in the 17th chapter of John, and he said, prayed, Father, not that you would take them out of the world, but that you would deliver them from evil. We're going to live here, but we don't have to be just like this world. We're separated. We're God's people, and God has given us a promise. And you say, well, you don't know what's going on in my life. I want you to understand something. God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for every life in here. Young people, God has a plan for your life. And God wants to fulfill that plan. And sometimes there are obstacles that come up in our life that will try to keep us from being able to receive the blessings that God has for us. Jeremiah 29:11. It says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. He said, they're thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Now, sometimes you can say, well, I just don't see the Lord right now in my life. Okay, I want you to know, Jericho was as good as on the ground. If you've been saved by the grace of God, and you're wanting to follow God and serve God, sometimes you might face obstacles. Sometimes you might face Jerichos. But I want you to know that God has not left you. God has not gone somewhere off that He can't hear your prayers. He's a God that's ever ready, and He's able to help you. Now, you say, well, you don't know what predicament I'm in. Well, what's the predicament? The predicament is Jericho. Jericho is standing in the way of the promises of God. And here's the main point I want you to get this morning when you're facing your Jericho, is that Jerichos, the Jerichos of life, will threaten to keep us away from what God wants us to have. It will. You know, sometimes we get to that point and we're standing there and we're facing Jericho, and it could be an obstacle, it could be a challenge, it could be a vice, it could be some kind of baggage that you've been carrying. You know, sometimes people carry baggage all of their life. It's like having something and bringing it down to the altar, and you bring it with you when you come, and what God wants you to do is leave it right here. And when you come and you bend and you lay it on the altar and you pray before the Lord, when you get up, what do? You reach and you get it. And you go right back down the aisle with it to the seat that you were sitting in, and you really have no deliverance over Jericho. But God wants you to have deliverance over Jericho. He wants you to have deliverance in your life. Now, here's something I also want you to understand. Do you know that Jericho does not have to be defined? And this is where you get to what's really important. Because the Holy Spirit of God has already shown you your Jericho. Now you think about that for just a minute. You'll go out here today and you might not remember nothing I said, but you'll remember that. You know why you'll remember it? Because God has showed it to you. Because every one of us face those obstacles. Every one of us face Jerichos in our life. But Jericho in God's side, and you say, well, it seems so big, and it is big right now. I have no disrespect for that. But I want you to know, it's nothing for God. It's nothing for Him. He said, I'm going to give you a land that flows with milk and honey. And He told them over and over and over again. And they come to the place that all they had to do was believe the promises of God. Now, could you imagine getting to Jericho, and when you get there, you see that city, and you're afraid. And it's in front of you, and God wants you to have something. And rather than marching around it, you set up camp. And you're camping in the shadows of Jericho. And when you're sitting there in the shadows of Jericho, all the while going through your mind are the fears. The fears are racing through your mind. You're afraid. Well, this is it sometimes, and I know this is how it is, because, folks, I want to tell you, I'm flesh and blood. I had to come to terms with this myself. I had to come to terms with the fact that I'm just going to trust God and forget about everything else. That's hard to do. I want you to tell you, as a man, the most difficult thing that I have trouble with is relinquishing control. I want to be in absolute control. Sometimes you can't be. I can remember one time we were having a very difficult time at work. It's just tough. Y'all know how it's been the past few years. It got so stressful that I didn't know if I could make it or not. You say, well, you know, you had a job. Yeah, praise God, I did. But if stress kills you, what good's a job? And I got up one night during the middle of the night, and I walked into the bathroom, and I was under so much, never had any problem with my blood pressure in my life, and I passed out and hit my head on the toilet and woke up laying in the floor that night. And I could not get up. I don't know what was wrong. I had to crawl from where I was at in the bathroom back into the bed and get into the bed and lay down, and I was just so dizzy. And I laid there in the bed, and you know what I feared? I feared that I would not be able to get up in the morning and go to work. I didn't fear anything else. I didn't fear my health. I said, God, who's going to take care of my family? You know, when you're in the shadows of Jericho, sometimes fear will overwhelm you. But you got to trust God and believe that God said Jericho belonged to you. You'll live in a fearful place. It could be a shameful place. It could be a shameful place. You know why? Because when you're living in the shadows of Jericho, you're haunted by your past. Now, I want to tell you something this morning. I believe this. We were talking in Sunday school about anger, okay? And we were talking about Jesus being over there in the temple. He braided that whip and he drove out the money changers. I'll tell you what makes me angrier than anything else. It's when somebody gets up in the pulpit and they try to be a demagogue and use the word of God, and they tell people that because of so-and-so in your past, God can't use you. I want to tell you something. God can use anybody. And you don't need to listen to what the devil says about what went on in your past. If you read the word of God, you find the one that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament was the one that stood when little girls and mamas was there and their daddies was being told to deny God and they would not. That's Paul. And you read the Old Testament, the one that wrote the Pentateuch, Moses. He was a murderer, buried a man in the sand and went off to Ethiopia. God used him. You don't let the devil tell you that because of your past, you're not going to be able to face Jericho. I want you to know something. We serve a God that when he forgives, he forgets. And he casts all your sins into the sea of forgetfulness. A fearful place is a shameful place. Beaten down by past failures. Beaten down by the naysayers. It's the people that say, oh, yeah, I know so-and-so. Just tell them. Not what it used to be. See, if you've been saved, all of us, what are we as Christians? I like this saying, it's a beggar telling another beggar where it can find bread. Without Jesus, I don't know where you'd be, but I know where I'd be. I'd be lost. And I'm not here this morning because I was a good Sunday school student. I'm here because God saved my sinful soul. And I've been washed in the blood. The shadows of Jericho could be a troubled place. I know a lot of people face troubles. You know, every Wednesday night we go through the prayer request and we get excited when we have a praise. You know, sometimes, to be honest with you, my prayer before we get up here is that we'd have more coming off the list than we have coming on. You know why? Because there's so many that have burdens. There's so many requests where we have people that have cancer. There's so many, and I can remember a time when we were in Sunday school taking a prayer request, and we were looking at how many people needed a job. We were looking at how many people had sickness, how many people had trouble. And you know, and you say, well, where are the promises of God? I want you to know something this morning. God has not forgotten you, and if God started something in your life, he wants to finish it. Amen. And he's a God that can. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. It says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You see, what God has, he wants to give it to us. My peace, he said, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you, but God gives it. You know, I love that verse over in Philippians where it says, the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's not my peace. It's something that I can't do by myself. You know where I'd be by myself? I'd be in trouble in this world. Paul even said, he said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, I would be of all men most miserable. But our strength and our help is not here, but it's there. You know what he said? Jericho's going to fall. And they got there and they looked at it and the only thing is they had to believe God. You know, sometimes we want God to move, but sometimes what God wants us to do is get up and go forward. Kind of like I heard the story of the guy, the land was flooding and he got up on top of his house and he was praying, Lord, would you send me help? And all of a sudden a boat comes by and he said, come on, we're going to take you to shelter. He said, no, I've prayed and God's going to deliver me. And he's there a little more and the water's coming up. And a bigger boat comes by. And he said, brother, you better come on, the waters are rising. He said, I've prayed and God is going to deliver me. The waters keep coming up. It's over his ankles now. A helicopter drops him a rope. And he said, I prayed and God is going to bloop, bloop. If they hadn't have got up and marched around that city, you say, well, God couldn't have just spoken, it fell down. I want you to know something. God wants you to do your part. I want you to see the power defeating your Jericho. God has no intention for your Jericho to keep you out of Canaan. Has no intention for it to. God's promised you blessings, okay? God wants you to get past the Jerichos in your life, the obstacles, the troubles, the burdens, the baggage, whatever it is, so that you can live a life that's pleasing and honorable unto Him and that glorifies Him. And I want you to know something else. God will help you. I believe that. Victory can be obtained, but you got to be willing to get up and march. You got to follow God's direction. We have to ask ourselves, am I willing to follow God's direction? You know, I believe that we really, as Christians, we need to learn how to be still. And we do. And I heard Adrian Rogers preaching on this, and man, it helped me so much. And I thought, God, I wish I could have learned that 15, 20 years ago. He said, you must learn first the restraint of the Spirit of God before you can learn the release of the Spirit of God. But if you've been praying and you've been being still, you need to listen close for that voice of God that comes to you and says, it's time to get up and move. And when God speaks, you have to move, because God wants to bring the walls of Jericho down in your life. In 1 Kings chapter 5 and verse 1, I'm not going to read this, but I'm going to tell you the story because the parallels are so similar. It tells of King Naaman. Naaman was captain of the host of Syria, of the Syrian army. And he had leprosy. But it says he was a great man, but he had leprosy. And there was a little maid that was taken captive, and she said, would God, my Lord, could go and be with the prophet in Israel. And they sent, and they found where Elijah was at, and Naaman came, and they got to the door of the house of Elijah, and they're standing there, and Elijah does not even come out to where great Naaman is at. But he sends the servant to go out and speak to Naaman, and he says, Naaman, you go and you wash in the Jordan River 7 times. And you will be clean. And you know what, Naaman? He's a lot like us. I want God to move. It's like the guy on top of that house. I want God to do something. And God sent His word, and you're offended by it. Amen. And Naaman gets mad. He says, well, why didn't he just come out and wave his hand over the place? Why don't God just make the walls fall down? Why have I got to march around it 7 times? And the old servant, he looks at Naaman and he said, Naaman, if he had asked you to do some great thing, you'd have done it. Let me tell you something. All it takes to be saved is just say, I want it. I want it. I don't want to be left behind. That's all it takes. And sometimes all it takes to get deliverance is to get up and come and give it to God. That's all. Now, Naaman, he finally got willing and he went down to Jordan and he dipped 7 times. And when he come up and he looked at his hands and they were restored, and he touched his face and everything was back in order. He knew, he said, surely there is a prophet in Israel. I want you to know something. Surely Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and I with groanings. The Holy Spirit is speaking on your behalf. And what you need to do is get up and just walk in the direction that God wants you to. Come with a song, if you would, right now. Whatever God's laid on your heart. Now, I want you to understand something this morning. You can have victory over Jericho. You can have victory over whatever it is in your life that's troubling you. All you got to do is get up and bring it down and give it to God. I ask the church, if you would, to stand. I ask you to pray. Pray that, you know, I want somebody to be saved. I want you to understand something this morning. And I want you to look at me. One time I talked to the youth up at Macklin, and I went in there, and the only thing God showed me to do is I said, I want y'all to look at my hand. And I said, now look at y'all's hand. And they looked at it. And I said, you're not going to be young always. You know the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die and after this the judgment. You're not going to live forever. And if you're not saved by the grace of God, you're going to stand before him. And you're not going to have anything to offer. When I stand before the Lord, I'm not going to stand on my merit. Folks, I want you to understand something. It don't have nothing to do with how many times I've preached. It ain't going to have nothing to do with how much I put in the offering or whether or not I even get the bus to crank. I tell you what it's going to matter. It's worth the blood. Where's the blood of Jesus? If God spoke to you, walk, march, come and ask God to work in your life. Just step out. That's all it takes is this first step, and God will come the rest of the way. Go ahead and sing.
I'm just a vessel in the hands of a mighty God. I'm just a lump of clay. He makes me what he wants. Turning and turning on the potter's wheel. Breaking and making. He loves me, he keeps me, I'm one of his own, and I'm sold out to him. I'm just a light in this dark world below. Oh, I'm just a stranger, this world. It's not my home. Turning and turning on the potter's wheel. He will be finished soon, but until I am sold out to him. So me, I'm one of his own, and I'm sold out to him. This world has many things to see, oh, but that don't matter at all. I have everything I need. Jesus Christ. Stronger than before, this world can offer his kind of peace. That's why I gotta be sold out to him. Sold out to him. 'Cause he loves me. He keeps me on one of his own, and I'm sold out to him. Yes, I'm sold out to him.
Amen. Thank you for that singing. I want to thank those that obeyed the Lord. I want you to think about something. You come into church house. I tell you, I can't tell y'all how excited I am to get to come here, Brother Tommy. I really am. I'm tickled to death to get to come and get to preach and be in the house of God and worship and hear the singing. But you know, you're here this morning, and you know, and God spoke to somebody's heart and they didn't move. it may not be like this next time. So you stop and think about something. If it takes this kind of service, well, this kind of moving of the Spirit to touch your heart, every time you turn God away, it gets a little bit harder. What's it going to take next time? We're going to do two things. We're going to ask them to sing one more verse. And I want to tell you something. If you're here this morning and you're saved by the grace of God and you want to be a part of this church, we want you to be a part of this church. You know why? Because we want to do something for God. We want to have a family of believers that love one another, that care for one another, that lift one another up, that believe that God can do something. And we do. And if you want to be a part of this church, we'll welcome you. But why would they sing this song? If God spoke to you and He's still dealing with your heart, and I want you to know He's still dealing with mine, you can come and pray too. And we'll pray with you because there's praying people here. Amen. So as we come, if God spoke to you and you want to be a part of this church, as they sing this song, or if you want to talk to the Lord, this is your opportunity. Amen. This is Kevin and Lori Ann Hollingsworth. I used to go to a church with Lori Ann when I was little. She was littler. Now, I'll tell you, I am older, a lot older than her, actually. But it's been years and years we went to church together down at Welcome Hill Baptist Church. And I guess it'd be Brother Gordon Kimmons. He's granddaddy, okay? Gordon Kimmons is a preacher I talk about sometimes that I'd go see him when he was bound at home. He couldn't get out and come to church no more. He was still preaching. You go see this man, and he would get talking about the Lord and preach all over the living room. Okay, so we have some memories. But I want to get a move that we accept. Okay, it's moving a second. We accept Kevin and Lori Ann as members of Hiram First Baptist Church. We're going to go back to the back so we can shake hands and people can get out. Brother Tommy, would you dismiss us in prayer?